This week's edition of My Mom's Basement is brought to you by Simply Safe. You know, when I was a kid, I was probably like sixth grade, but maybe, I don't know. I used to get nightmares pretty much on the reg about someone breaking into my house and kidnapping me. I would wake up in the middle of the night, tossing and turning, crying, losing my mind about these nightmares. I was probably watching too many fucking superhero shows and crazy rated R movies. Shout out to my parents for letting me watch those. Shout out to, really, my brother and sister for sneaking a lot of them to me. But I used to be terrified that someone was going to break in, and honestly, that wasn't that crazy a thought. On average, a burglary happens every 23 seconds in the United States. And 83% of these assholes that are breaking into houses stealing shit admitted that they specifically look to see if there's an alarm. So what's insane is that 1 in 5 homes have home security. How is it 2019 and only 1 in 5 homes have home security? Do you realize how easy it is nowadays, people? I guess you probably don't, because most companies don't make it that easy. There's all these hidden fees, it's a hassle, you know, there's a whole installation process. You gotta call the guy, he says we're gonna be there between 8 and 3 p.m. They show up at 8 p.m., you're all fucked now, your whole day's been thrown off. Listen, not anymore. Simply Safe is my top choice, hands down. They sent me one of these things. It is amazing. Simply Safe protects every door, window, and room you need with 24/7 professional monitoring. They make it super, super easy. There's no contract, no hidden fees, no fine print. They've won a ton of awards. The CNET, the New York Times Wirecutter, everything. The prices are fair. The prices are honest. The around-the-clock monitoring is just $15 a month. You cannot put a price on safety, people, and $15 a month, tell you what, that's, in New York City, what, that's a couple cups of coffee, that's nothing. You're gonna be like Robert McCall from The Equalizer in no time with these friggin' cameras in your house. But one thing that makes Simply Safe truly stand out is their video verification technology. When other home security systems are triggered, a lot of the time police assume it's a false alarm and the call goes to the bottom of the list. Not with Simply Safe. Using their video verification technology, they're able to visually confirm the break-in as it's happening, allow police to get to the scene 3.5 times faster than other home security companies, and hopefully they stop that break-in while you're watching on, like Lucius Fox with all your friggin', you know, Simply Safe technology. For my listeners, Simply Safe is a huge deal going on right now. You go to simplysafe.com/mom/mom, M-O-M, and get free shipping and a money-back guarantee. That is simplysafe.com/mom today. simplysafe.com/mom. Hello and welcome to My Mom's Basement, presented by Barstool Sports. I am your host, Robbie Fox, and this week I will be joined by none other than the two-time UFC heavyweight champion of the world, Cain Velasquez. He is now going by the name El Toro over in AAA, that is a Mexican wrestling promotion, a Lucha Libre promotion. Cain is becoming one of the few that have made the transition from fighter to wrestler, and he sat down with me in office this week, And we talked about it. We talked about what the transition has been like, what the process has been like, what training to be a wrestler is like, what his goals in wrestling are. We really touched on it all. It's a pretty in-depth interview. I think it's one of his first real in-depth interviews since he's made the transition, made the jump to the ring, from the octagon to the ring. So it was a blast having him in the office. It was really, really cool. He was a great dude. And it's a really insightful interview. But before we get into that, I want to remind you, if you're not subscribed already, I would really appreciate it if you did that. You hit that subscribe button, you left us a rating on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you're listening to this, and you left us a review. If you do all those things, I love you. And as always, tweet about the show throughout the week. I'm tweeting about the show, Clem's tweeting about the show, whoever the guest on the show is usually tweeting about it. So we love engaging with you guys on whatever topics we're talking about, you know, getting the audience involved. Make sure you do all that. Some good news on the frontier of Clem and myself. We applied for and were granted credentials for New York Comic Con. So early this October, we will be gearing up for some more cosplay, one last Comic Con before The Rise of Skywalker, getting that hype to the maximum level. I am absolutely stoked for that. And one last thing before we get into this interview with Cain Velasquez. If you're like me, you're looking on Instagram all the time, and everything that you buy is just based on something that you saw someone else wear that's super cool. So you see, you know, for me, it's all these rock stars. I look at these pictures, I see what this rock star's wearing, I see what that rock star's wearing. I say, give me that, give me this, give me that. But usually, you click on the picture, and you go to buy whatever you're going to buy, nice pair of sunglasses, a nice watch, something like that. And they're hundreds of dollars. They're thousands of dollars. They're these unrealistic, insane prices. Tell you what, not with MVMT. MVMT has got you covered with tons of quality, clean, and all-around good-looking watches and accessories and shades and all that stuff that you could actually afford and order right from your couch. So do your wrist and your wallet a favor. Go check them out. They got some minimalist designs that you can have with no risk because they offer free shipping and free returns. They've sold over 2 million watches worldwide and solidified themselves as one of the fastest-growing brands out there. Obviously, if you're a Barstool fan, you're very familiar with these guys. They've been advertising with us for a long time. They sent me one of their watches, real sleek, classic design, a nice black watch. It's got a nice black band on it, little red hand on it, little James Bond, little Bruce Wayne action on that bad boy. I love it. They also offer tons of sunglasses and interchangeable watch straps, so you never run out of options for a new look. The accessories are cool. You know, you interchange them, mix and match. You buy one watch, a bunch of bands, it looks like you got 10 watches. They all start at $95 as well, so you're guaranteed to find something that you love that won't break the bank. And they're truly a ground-up entrepreneur success story. Like I said, they've been advertising with Barstool for a few years now, so we really like getting behind these guys, helping them out. They help us out as well. They're helping you out. They're helping our listeners out, giving you guys 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to mvmt.com/mom, which hysterical that that's the little code for this podcast, /mom. Shout out to my mom because she listens to this show. See why MVMT keeps growing. Check out their expanding collection. Go to mvmt.com/mom. That is M-O-M. mvmt.com/mom. Join the movement. All right, without further ado, two-time UFC heavyweight champion of the world, this man knocked out Brock Lesnar, Cain Velasquez. All right, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. I am joined by one of the great heavyweights of all time, and one of the great heavyweights in mixed martial arts, now transitioning to pro wrestling, trying to become one of the greatest heavyweights there as well. You're here promoting AAA, invading New York on September 15th at MSG, and then invading LA October 13th at the Forum. Cain, I'm a huge fan of yours from your mixed martial arts career, but I'm also a huge pro wrestling fan, so I would like to take it back to the beginning for you, and just tell me, what was your first memory of pro wrestling?
First memory of pro wrestling, I was just a little kid, you know, probably four years old, watching Lucha Libre, watching Santos, Blue Demon, Mil Máscaras, with my dad, with my family, watching their movies, watching their matches. I remember going to we would go to Mexico almost every weekend where we lived. We lived in Yuma, Arizona, and we're like 30 minutes from the border. So we would go to Mexico like every weekend, and we would get, I'd get the little luchador, you know, action figures, and have the ring as well. And I just remember playing with them, you know, in the way that they wrestled. So that was my earliest memory of wrestling.
What was it that drew you to that? Was it the over the top? You know, that's what it was for me. Was, you know, I grew up with kind of the Hulk Hogan era of, that's what my brother showed me when I was little. Mm-hmm. So it was the over the top, like almost superhero like personalities. Was that
definitely
for you?
Yeah, superhero like, you know, with the masks as well. And to me, watching those guys wrestle, like Santos and Mil Máscaras, those guys, I mean, they were the stars of their era. So they were in all the movies back then, and they did all the movies in their masks.
Yeah.
So that to me was just cool. It just made them seem like they're larger than life, and that's what really just kind of drew me to that.
And also the kind of ceremony of masks, if you will, right? The tradition that's kept the sacredness of a Lucha Libre mask.
that for me always made Rey Mysterio was my first favorite wrestler of all time. He was, for me, like, there was nobody better than Rey, the ultimate underdog, the best lucha libre ever for my money. For me, like, I remember going back and finding out that he once had to take his mask off in WCW, and it was a whole revelation. So you go into mixed martial arts, you go into an entire illustrious career. Was there ever a thought in the back of your mind, I still like wrestling, I could still do this? When was the first thought that you had of I could go into the pro wrestling realm?
Of pro wrestling? So I've always been a fan of wrestling in general. I started wrestling in junior high, and I loved it all the way through college. So I've always had just the love for wrestling since then. And then once I was fighting, it was me, Daniel Cormier. We were all in Las Vegas for the Tough Show.
And Cormier is a huge wrestling fan. He's been on the show before, and he is like a wrestling geek.
He is. He's a big wrestling fan, and we've always like talked about it and stuff. But yeah, he's always been a huge fan of it. And we went to an event. We went to a WWE event, and it was just like we were all kids again. You know, we just had so much fun just being there and just watching the matches. It was just so interesting to me. Again, I kind of re-fell in love with it, you know, it then, and I just decided, hey, let's try to do this, you know.
So this is what, a couple years ago?
This is when he was doing the tough. This is when he fought. Before he fought
Stipe the first time.
Stipe the first time. Yeah, so it was a couple years ago, and for me, it was just in my head, like, okay, can I even do this? Because I've heard stories of other athletes, you know, doing pro wrestling, and I wasn't even sure if I could do it, you know.
Yeah.
But I was willing to go ahead and try, and you know.
Did you know the stories of, you know, other athletes from combat sports, Kurt Angle and Matt Riddle?
Yes.
And was Ronda Rousey even in it at that point, or no?
That was her debut.
Okay.
So it was her debut. Yeah. That I saw, and I started training it. And
that maybe give you a sense of like, all right, you know, obviously the transition's available for there.
Yeah.
For some reason, I feel like a lot of combat sports athletes make an easy transition going all the way back to like Ken Shamrock.
They can, but I've seen a lot. I've seen some instances where it's tougher than what it looks.
Yeah,
obviously, right?
Totally.
It's a lot of things that you got to do. Timing. It's knowing different moves, right?
That's actually, I wanted to bring up. For you as you know, a fighter who was a fan of wrestling for so long, and then eventually you dove in, what was the thing that surprised you the most about it? Like the actual physicality of it? Was it running the ropes and finding out that, you know, running the ropes hurts as bad as it does?
All that, yes. Running the ropes.
My scrawny ass trained for a summer.
It is, yeah.
The rope burn you get, oh my God, I don't wish it upon my worst enemy trying to sleep with that.
I got a picture. The first time I ran the ropes, I had a big old bruise. On the side of my back, yeah, like ginormous, and I was like, oh my God. So it is very physical, and it's just knowing how to do everything, you know, make it look easy, if you will, even though it is hard, and there's a big margin for error.
It has to be fluid, right? Like almost a dance, you and your opponent have to
definitely
tell the perfect story.
Yeah, having a good partner, you know, helps as well. It's just being able to work with somebody to create just an amazing match, and you know, the footwork and everything that's involved.
Always getting up, rolling to your left or right, depending on, you know, where you are in the world, right?
Yeah.
The lucha style is sometimes working on the opposite arm and stuff like that. The intricacies of that, I'm sure, weren't easy to learn. So you went to the WWE Performance Center not too long after this, right? Because I remember a video coming out. There were some pictures.
Yeah.
And that was the first time that I had ever really realized that you had an interest in pro wrestling. So I thought that was really cool. What did you do there? Just a workout or I think they called it a tryout, but was that what it was?
Yeah, more so of a tryout, more of a workout for a week. For me, it was just being there and just kind of learning everything, you know.
The basics, right?
The basics, running the ropes and, you know, doing the collar tie-up, and just seeing if I could even, like, you know, put those moves together and kind of put the combinations together to create a match.
Mm-hmm.
And then just getting the feedback from the coaches there to seeing how I did and
when you were there, if you're able to say?
Smiley, one of the coaches, Smiley, that's been there for forever. He's wrestled in all different organizations as well.
He's a legend and beloved at the Performance Center.
Yeah, so he was awesome. Just every I think just the whole the whole training center in general was just amazing. You know, just the unity that everybody had, whether as fighting, you know, it's more of like it's one person going out there and fighting. And even though we do have a camp behind us, it's more of you're out there fighting for yourself kind of thing. And, you know, all the rest of the athletes are, you know, have to be selfish in a way. But here we kind of all work together. And I really just love that aspect of it.
That's really cool. So was that experience influential in you being like, okay, this is definitely something that I can do that I want to get into and go forward with?
Yeah, just the more I did, I kind of just kept, you know, having a deeper love for.
And did you know that you wanted to kind of go back to your roots and work like in AAA, a place where you could have like the true Lucha Libre style and fans?
For me, it was, yes, exactly. Like if I was going to do this, I had to, you know, relive my childhood and do kind of what made me fall in love with the sport in the first time. And that's the Lucha style of wrestling with the mask and just doing, you know, just trying to learn as much as I can. Yeah.
So you start training to be a pro wrestler before or after the Francis Ngannou fight?
I did a little bit here and there before, but it wasn't like it was routinely, you know.
Did you know before that you would be making your debut at Triple Mania?
Did I know before that? Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yes.
So that was always in the back of your mind.
Yes.
And once the fight with Francis is over, you go full-fledged into it. Who are your trainers?
So I'm training over at Pro Wrestling Revolution over in San Jose, California. But then I went over to Vegas to train with Killer Cross, for a little bit. So
talking to Cormier the whole time, giving him updates on the whole saga?
Anytime he would ask, I know he's busy with his stuff, and I kind of just wanted it to be more so like a surprise, you know, for him, you know, because I'm not one to like really boast about like what I'm doing, you know, or really talk too much about like what I'm doing. So it was more so like I'm just doing this on my own, and you know, like when the guys see it, they really see like what I'm doing.
But
training as much as I could here and there. And just trying to get better, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you go to Mexico, and there was this amazing video that came out. When you landed, there were people waiting for you at the airport with a birthday cake, right? Because it was your birthday, like, the day before.
Yeah.
It was like a hometown hero's welcome. Triple Mania was getting that big fight feel like, oh, shit, it's Triple Mania week. Like, you start getting jazzed up for the big show.
Yeah.
Did you have nerves at all going into that? It's such a different thing, right? In a fight, that seems like the scariest thing ever. You've fought Brock Lesnar. You've knocked out Brock Lesnar. That's the most intimidating thing a human being could say about themselves. But still, like, putting on the Lucha Libre mask, putting on the tights, getting in the squared circle at Triple Mania in front of, you know, so many people. Were you nervous?
Hell yeah, I was nervous. No, man, I was nervous, yeah.
Was it nervous, like a different nervousness than fighting?
It was a different nervousness.
Because it's better, right? You know everyone in the ring is out to help you. Everyone wants you to do well. Everyone wants you to succeed.
So the thing I really noticed was going to the event, like driving to the event, normally, like the day of, when I fight, I'm quiet. I don't speak really at all. I'm really focused. And on the way to the event, I was in that same mode, you know, and I was thinking to myself, why am I in the same mode? It's different. But, you know, I've done it for so long, I have to go out there and compete.
Sort of getting a groove.
Exactly, right? But I put it in my head then. I was like, I'm going to go out and have fun, you know. I'm going to go out and have fun. It's just going to be awesome. So I was nervous. It was a little different. I was a little more excited than, like, actually, like, being nervous.
Yeah. Like, more jitters, right?
Some jitters, you know, and just like, okay, like I know what we're going to do when we go out there. Just, is it going to translate well? Are the fans going to like it? Are the people watching TV going to like
it? Were you worried that like the fans wouldn't be behind you right away? I mean, you're Cain Velasquez.
I wasn't sure,
like,
man.
Like at Triple Mania, come on.
Talking to Conan from AAA, it was just like, I had a long talk with him the night before. Like, we went over, we saw film on different things. We talked about like, kind of like psychology of wrestling, and he was just like, if you're out there and you're 100% real, then the fans will see that.
Yeah,
you know,
if you have the passion for it.
And if you don't, then they'll see that too, and then they'll boo the shit out of you. So I took that very into consideration, you know, going in, and I was just dove all in, you know, from the beginning, and that was just my intention always, right? I do it for a reason. I don't do it just because I love it. So I remember right before I'm about to go out, I'm ready, you know, I'm pumped, I'm freaking jumping up in the back, you know, getting ready to go out and do my walk. And I do my walk and everything. I know what I'm supposed to do. As soon as I get to the ring, I'm like, hey, guys, what are we doing?
you went blank?
It was like, yeah. And then
too caught up in the entrance, maybe, yes, the moment?
Yeah.
Because that entrance was awesome. You came out in the full El Toro attire. What was the inspiration behind that?
The El Toro attire? Yeah. Well, in Mexico, my nickname is Caín El Toro Velázquez, right?
Yep.
It's El Toro. So I wanted to do that. I wanted to do like a mask with
bit of an homage to that.
El Toro, you know what I mean? So
it's a beautiful mask. You got it here.
Thank you.
Did you have it made by an esteemed mask maker?
Yeah, the guys there from AAA.
Oscar.
Oscar
Garcia Jimenez.
Yes.
He makes the Rey Mysterio's mask. And
okay, Drago, so yeah.
He's an artist.
I'm sure probably the greatest. Oh, Drago as well. Drago's masks they look like something out of a VFX workshop. I don't even know how he wrestles in those things. but you have this match. It's a 6-man tag.
Yes.
And you fucking crush it. Beyond, thank you. I mean, the gifts, I'm sure you saw immediately afterwards that everyone is going crazy of the Hurricane Rana. And, you know, you did the flip over. You absolutely crushed it. Cody Rhodes afterwards, who's in the match, said he should not have been that good, but he was. Your boy
awesome.
DC had his Instagram stories going wild. He's screaming his head off in his living room. What was the feedback like immediately when you get back to the locker room?
Like you said, it was just positive. It was like everybody was surprised. And
were you thrilled? Did you know you crushed it right away? Or were you like, oh, I fucking... destroyed.
No, I know I did. I went out there and I did what I was supposed to do, and the fans were into it and I was into it, you know.
Yeah.
I had a blast out there. I had so much fun. I was like this is fucking the coolest thing ever when I was out there.
Were there any moments out there where someone is, maybe you're on the apron waiting to get tagged in and someone's like, isn't this fucking cool, Kane?
I was thinking to myself, man, this is I literally was in the moment, I'm kind of getting beat up and I'm just like, I was meant for this.
Yeah.
You know, I was born for this. You know, that's exactly what just went through my mind. And it's just because it was so much fun. The people, after we were done with everything, we go in the back and yeah, I'm just hearing people talk about it, you know, what people are saying out there. And it was, for me, I was just the whole night just surprised by the fans being surprised.
Yeah.
You know, it was almost like a dream. I was super surprised. I was almost in shock. I was telling my wife the whole night, what just happened? You know what I mean?
What did she think?
She was it was awesome. It was freaking it was amazing.
I'm sure she was thrilled being I don't have to go watch you fight. I'm going to watch you pretend to fight.
Yes, yes.
Speaking of pretending to fight and being an MMA fighter going into wrestling, I was a wrestling fan first. Brock Lesnar was actually the person that got me into UFC, UFC 81, when he fought Frank Mir.
Oh, okay.
I was like, oh, this guy from wrestling is going into this other thing. Let me check it out.
Yeah.
From there on out, I was a MMA fan. Mm-hmm. There's always been a stigma, I feel, with MMA fans, with combat sports fans, who kind of look down on wrestling and they say, you know, it's fake, this, that, the next thing. Mm-hmm. I feel they don't really understand why people watch wrestling. It's not about any of the fake stuff. It's about the stories. It's about the personalities. It's about the real life stories as well. You look at, you know, the over the years, the Stone Colds, the Daniel Bryans, the Mick Foley's, where their real life persona bleeds through.
Mm-hmm.
How would you sell wrestling to these people? How would you describe wrestling to skeptics?
To skeptics, you kind of just have to, all those stigmas and stuff, you know, it's the same thing with a movie, right? A movie is not real, but you get invested.
Definitely.
Why? Because you give it a chance. You take those stigmas out of your mind. You watch it. You get entertained. It's the same thing. Every time I go out and watch a wrestling event, whether it be lucha, whether it be any type of wrestling, I get invested. I'm in there. I'm watching. It's all about just letting loose and freaking having fun out there. You know, as a fan as well. You know, yelling what you want to yell. Root for the rudos or the technicals, the bad guys or the good guys, whatever you want to do, you go out there and have fun and scream, and that's what it's about.
And I think people forget how much fun it is to be in the crowd at a wrestling show, because I've taken some friends that are I watched the Attitude Era, and then I'll take them to an indie wrestling show where people are doing, you know, moves that they've never seen before, and they're immediately, it's like they're a kid again.
Yes.
Do you watch wrestling now through a different lens, through the lens of a pro wrestler?
I do.
Trying to, you know, learn where you can.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just watch them as much as I can to learn.
What are you, like a guy that watches anything? Are you like, I like watching tag matches. I like watching old school stuff. I like watching new school stuff. What do you, if you're flipping something on just to watch wrestling? Just
to watch wrestling. It could be old or new lucha stuff. I like how fast it is. I like, you know, the acrobatic.
Definitely.
Moves that they do.
It's a little more fluid, right, with the arm drags, and yes. Lucha arm drags have a little more fluidity to them and stuff.
I like that. I like that aspect to them, you know. Again, like, yeah, it flows. It's very flowy type of performance. I like watching that, and my son, he's a year and a half, and he's watching it. He loves it
already.
He's wrestling already. My daughter's 10; she's watching it, and my wife as well. You know, we're all watching it. We're all like practicing, like in the living room. But it's just watching as much as we can, whether it be just kind of be open to everything, you know, because you can always learn from everything. So I'm just watching different matches as much as I can. Yeah, trying to learn as much as I can.
I love that. So what are you out to accomplish in wrestling? What do you want, you know, when people look back at Kane's time in pro wrestling? What do you want people to say?
I want people to say, for myself, my goal in the sport is to be the best that has ever done it.
Already, that you're like diving full-fledged in. So you're not retired from MMA, though?
I'm not retired from MMA, no.
That's still on the table?
Yes.
But wrestling, would you say, is your main focus right now?
I have, so with the two shows that I have coming up with AAA, the one on September 15th and the one on October 13th.
Yep.
Again, I don't do things just to do them, man. I do things to be the best at them.
Yeah.
You know, and... That's just the mentality that I have to have going into whatever I do. And that's the same thing with fighting, the same thing with, again, with whatever I do. I have to have that mentality that I'm going to be the best that I can at it. And I'm going to do everything I can to get there.
I love that. Do you have any specific dream matches in mind for yourself? I know it's super early on still, but just in your mind, wrestlers that you love watching that you're like, I would love to get in the ring with them.
I haven't really thought of that.
No?
No.
What about let's say alive or dead, like dream matches of your favorite wrestlers in the past, maybe even like in their prime. You could wrestle anyone in their prime.
Well, Santos for sure.
Is he your number one?
He was, because it was more for me. It was a thing of, you know, that was my first a wrestling hero.
Yeah.
Growing up, right? That was my first wrestling hero. So definitely him. And then moving on to WWE when I was watching it, Razor Ramon was freaking awesome, you know, and his Dusty Rhodes,
yep,
like just all those different guys back then. Like I was watching it and then just became a fan of each guy because of something that they did, whether it was how they wrestled or whether it was their character.
Yeah, right? And Dusty Rhodes, a guy who. You could say he's the greatest promo of all time. His promos, you know, his hard times promo. You could watch 1,000 times, still brings a tear to your eye. We haven't even touched on this. The promo aspect of wrestling. Mm-hmm. How has been getting used to that in terms of, like, in the past, if you're like, yeah, I'll knock that guy the fuck out, and then you could go do it.
Yeah.
But in wrestling, you actually have to, like, sell a match and sell, you know, maybe the possibility that you could lose or whatever.
Yeah, for me... because of fighting, it's opened up doors to like for me to try acting.
Yeah.
And for me, doing that has been it's something that I like to do as well. It was crazy. Like in college, I even took like some acting classes as well. You know, with not even knowing, just to try it, right?
Yeah.
Just to, you know, get out of my skin.
Did you start like remembering things from your college acting class when you got into wrestling? Like,
no,
oh, Miss So-and-so said to use this inflection.
No, I didn't. But it was just crazy because I wasn't the type of guy to do that, you know, to do those type of things. Mm-hmm. And that was a kind of a big step for me, is to kind of perform in front of an like audience.
Definitely.
Where I wasn't myself. It is. And I think just with time, with doing things for fighting, it's got me better at it or more comfortable. I feel more comfortable out there performing. So I really like the acting part of anything, whether it be commercials, movies, you know, pro wrestling as well. So it's been a lot of fun, yeah.
Awesome. I got one more question for you. What are the odds that we one day see Cain Velasquez versus Daniel Cormier in the squared circle in versus, a pro wrestling ring.
Versus or a tag team.
I don't hate that either.
The freaking greatest tag team.
I also don't hate maybe Kane versus Brock in the ring.
Okay, we could do that.
Kane versus Brock in the ring. Kane versus DC in the ring. I mean, I feel like there's so many people in the UFC right now. I mean, even Derek Lewis could probably transition over with the My Balls Was Hot. I mean, he's a hysterical heavyweight. Yeah, so I don't know.
Definitely.
Maybe we have to transition, get a whole like invasion coming on.
Yeah, I think once Daniel wants, you know, if he does want to try out the wrestling, which I think he will.
I mean, a fight with Stipe, hit him with an attitude adjustment in the first round.
Yeah.
He's already doing it in the octagon.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think a tag team with him would be awesome. You need to do like one match or anything, you know.
Definitely.
That would be freaking cool.
Some sweet AKA gear, yes. AKA El Toro gear. You get him. You get him a lucha mask.
Yes.
Would be kind of unreal.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. No, it would. It would. So, we'll see.
We're gonna definitely try it. At the very least, he has to manage you. Manage you. He takes a little bump off the apron, Bobby Heenan style. There you go.
He'll be giving those bumps.
All right, Kane. Thank you so much. Wish you the best of luck. And you could check him out at AAA Invading New York on September 15th at the Garden, the theater underneath the Garden. AAA Invading LA on October 13th at the Forum. Tickets are available on Ticketmaster.com. You could order both on pay-per-view. Thank you so much to Kane for joining the show. I cannot wait to see what he does in the future. If you haven't seen his debut, go back, check out my blog about it. You could, you know, probably just go to Barstool Sports, type in the search bar Kane Velasquez. I mean, you know what, I'm saying that, you probably can't do that. Our search function sucks. It always has, it might stay that way for eternity. That's kind of the Barstool difference. But hey, fuck it. You could definitely go find a gif of that Hurricane Rana we were talking about before. It's the simple stuff, but man, for his first match, it was insane. Next week, we will be back coming at you with an amazing guest, a guest that I've been wanting to get on this show for a long time. And we're finally going to be able to make it happen, so make sure you're subscribed, and I'll talk to you then.